All right, so have you ever ever wondered, like, what are the odds of you getting more education than your parents? We're gonna do a deep dive today into this thing called intergenerational educational mobility.
Okay.
And trust me, it is way more interesting than it sounds.
Yeah.
Think about it, like, did you go to college? Did your parents?
Right.
That simple comparison is really like at the heart of everything we're gonna be talking about today.
Yeah, it really is fascinating, I think, because it gets at this idea of like opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
And we're going to be looking at this new study that uses data from the World Bank's global database on intergenerational mobility. And it covers data from over 140 countries.
Wow. So we're talking like a global perspective on education and social mobility here.
Yeah.
So what makes this study different from all the others out there?
Well, instead of just looking at whether or not people are getting more education than their parents, you
Yeah.
know,
Okay.
this study compares different ways of measuring mobility. It's like you're looking at a sculpture from all angles, and you can get like a much more complete picture that way.
Okay, I am intrigued. Tell me more about these different ways of measuring educational mobility.
Yeah, so one way is to look at what we call absolute mobility.
Okay.
And this is simply a yes or no question. Did you surpass your parents' education level?
Okay.
Things get more interesting when we consider relative mobility.
So absolute mobility is like a personal milestone,
Right.
but relative mobility adds in a layer of comparison with other people.
Exactly.
Okay.
It considers your position compared to everyone else in your generation. So, imagine like the education ladder is a race, right?
Okay.
In some countries, everybody is like tightly bunched together, while in other countries, there's a wider spread.
So even just like a little bit more education might give you a big advantage in like a tight race,
Right.
while you'd need like a much bigger leap to stand out in a race where people are more spread out.
That's a great analogy. And what's fascinating is that this study actually found this strong negative link between how much education people typically gain compared to their parents, relative mobility,
Okay.
and how many people actually exceed their parents' education. Absolute mobility.
Wait, so that means in places where everybody's education level is pretty similar, fewer people actually make big leaps ahead?
Yeah.
That seems kind of counterintuitive.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it makes sense when you think about it this way.
Okay.
If there's not much of a difference in education levels between generations, those who do move up stand out more because they're making bigger jumps. But if everybody's expected to get more education,
Yeah.
those gains become less exceptional.
So it's not just about like an individual's achievement, but
Right.
also about the context of the society that you're in.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting insight.
Yeah, it highlights how individual opportunities are shaped by the overall distribution of education in a society. And now another crucial element this study explores is the role of gender.
Okay, so how does gender come into play when we're talking about educational mobility?
Well, the relationship between absolute and relative mobility is not the same for sons and daughters.
Okay.
For example, sons' mobility patterns seem to be more sensitive to changes over time, like historical events,
Okay.
while daughters' patterns are more stable.
That's interesting. So let's say, like, hypothetically, there's like a major economic downturn
Yeah.
that disproportionately affects men's jobs
Right.
that could influence sons' decisions about education and whether they even try to surpass their fathers.
Yeah.
But daughters facing different societal expectations might be less affected by that specific event.
That's a perfect example
Okay.
because it highlights how deeply gender roles and societal expectations are kind of woven into the fabric of educational mobility.
Yeah, it seems like we're starting to uncover a lot of layers to this seemingly simple question of, like, do you get more education than your parents?
We are. And there's another fascinating wrinkle to this story. The link between absolute and relative mobility is not consistent across different generations.
Okay.
So if we compare, say, people born in the 1940s to those born in the 1980s,
Yeah.
we see this shift in the relationship between those two types of mobility.
So are you saying that, like, being born in a certain decade can actually influence your educational opportunities?
It certainly suggests that,
Wow.
major events like wars, recessions, or even, significant educational reforms can leave a lasting mark on a generation, shaping their mobility compared to other generations.
Okay.
Each generation carries its own unique historical baggage, so to speak.
That's a powerful way to put it. It makes
Yeah.
you realize that like individual educational journeys are shaped by much larger forces.
Exactly. And this study also highlights how regional differences play a role. For instance, Latin America and the Caribbean show significant variations in relative mobility, suggesting unique factors are influencing educational attainment in that part of the world.
So where you are in the world matters too.
Yes.
It's like piecing together a global puzzle,
Yeah.
with each region offering like its own unique perspective on educational mobility.
You're getting it. Now, to really understand these nuances, we need to kind of dig a bit deeper into the specific measures that the study used. One of these is called the intergenerational regression coefficient, or IGP.
Okay, let's break that down. What exactly is the IGP and what does it tell us?
Think of the IGP as a measure of how sticky the educational ladder is. It quantifies how much your parents' education level predicts your own. A high IGP means it's harder to climb because your starting point matters more.
So a high IGP suggests you're more likely to follow in your parents' footsteps education-wise.
Precisely. And what the study found was this consistent negative correlation between the IGP and absolute upward mobility.
Wait, so if there's a weaker link between your parents' education and your own,
Yeah.
a lower IGP,
Right.
that's actually associated with more people exceeding their parents' education?
That's what the data reveals.
That seems counterintuitive.
It seems counterintuitive, but the study suggests that a weaker connection between parental education and children's education is linked to more individuals moving up the educational ladder.
So are we saying then that like striving for everybody to get like slightly more education might actually hinder those who need to make like bigger jumps?
Yeah.
Like could policies aimed at increasing overall education levels actually hurt absolute mobility?
That's a crucial question. And one, this research really makes us consider, it challenges some common assumptions about how to promote educational opportunity. We tend to think that more education is always better. But this study suggests it's more nuanced than that.
This is definitely making me rethink my assumptions.
And that's what makes this deep dive so compelling. You know, it's not just about understanding the past. It's about using that knowledge to create a better, more equitable future.
I'm hooked. Now, you mentioned another measure called the IGC.
Yes.
What does that tell us?
That's the intergenerational correlation coefficient. It's similar to the IGP, but it takes into account the overall variance in education levels across generations. So it's not just about the parent-child connection, but also about how spread out everyone's education levels are.
So it gives us a broader perspective on how much education is changing within a society,
Yeah.
not just between individuals and their parents.
You got it. And here's the interesting part. The IGC didn't show a clear relationship with absolute mobility at first glance. But when the researchers started to analyze the data through a different lens, things got a lot more interesting.
I have a feeling you're about to say that those generational comparisons came into play
You
again.
know me too well. It turns out that the connection between the IGC and absolute mobility only became clear when they looked at changes over time, comparing different birth cohorts.
So like those time lapse videos we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. It seems like these generational comparisons are key to unlocking the finer points of educational mobility. Absolutely. What we're starting to see is that the impact of your parents' education on your own educational journey can shift, depending on the social and economic forces shaping your generation.
It's like those forces can either magnify or lessen the influence of your family background.
Exactly.
This is blowing my mind. It's not just about you and your family.
Right.
It's about like the entire context of your generation and where you are in the world.
Exactly. And that brings us to the heart of this deep dive. If we know certain factors, like historical events, regional differences, and even which decade you were born in, can impact educational mobility, what can we do to create societies with more opportunity for everyone, regardless of their parents' education?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And while this study doesn't give us all the answers, it provides a valuable starting point by understanding the complex ways in which those factors interact. We can start to craft more targeted and effective policies to promote genuine equality of opportunity.
So we're not just left with a bunch of data.
Right.
We're actually equipped with insights that can help us build a more equitable future.
Precisely. And that's what makes this research so exciting.
Mm.
It's not just abstract academic work. It has real-world implications for how we think about and address social mobility.
All right. I'm completely on board with this deep dive. Now you've convinced me that this seemingly simple question about exceeding your parents' education is actually a gateway to understanding some really profound truths about social mobility and opportunity.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
Oh, really?
Remember those gender differences we talked about?
Yeah.
The study found some truly intriguing patterns there,
Oh.
particularly when they looked at the IGP for sons. So,
So we were talking about how sons' educational journeys seem more connected to, what's happening in the world around them.
exactly, like their paths are more easily swayed by those historical winds.
Yeah.
But when they focused on daughters, it was a different story.
Oh, how so?
The IGP for daughters wasn't as sensitive to those shifts over time. It points to a more consistent trajectory, less impacted by, external forces.
So even though like both sons and daughters live through the same events, like those events hit their educational choices in distinct ways.
Precisely, this contrast really underlines how deeply gender roles and expectations are entwined with educational mobility.
It's almost like sons and daughters are playing on different fields, even within the same society.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
And it raises this important question. If we want true equality of opportunity, don't we need to acknowledge these gender-specific dynamics?
Absolutely. We can't just assume everyone's experiences are identical.
Now, on top of those gender differences, the study also used this fascinating measure called expected rank, or X rank.
Okay, unpack that one for me. What does X rank actually measure?
Imagine you're a child whose parents are in the bottom half of the education distribution.
Okay.
X rank tells you your likely position in the education hierarchy compared to your peers.
So it's like predicting where you'll end up on the education ladder based on like where your parents started?
You got it. And here's what's intriguing. The researchers found a significant positive relationship between X rank, particularly for daughters, and absolute mobility.
Hold on. So daughters whose parents had less education were actually more likely to surpass them when the overall level of absolute mobility was higher.
Yes, but there's a twist. That relationship only became statistically significant when they factored in changes across birth cohorts.
Okay, I'm sensing a pattern here. Those time-lapse views, those birth cohort comparisons seem to be the key to unlocking these like finer points of educational mobility.
You're absolutely right. It underscores that the impact of your parents' education can actually shift depending on, what social and economic forces are at play during your generation.
It's like those forces can either magnify or lessen the influence of your family background.
Exactly. And that's where we come full circle back to the idea that individual outcomes are shaped by this intricate dance between personal and societal factors.
It's not just about your own efforts and talents. It's about creating a level playing field where everyone has a shot at success, no matter their parents' education.
Beautifully said. And that brings us to the heart of this deep dive, knowing that things like historical events, regional differences, and even gender dynamics can influence educational mobility. What steps can we take to build societies with more opportunity for everyone?
That's the question, isn't it? What can we actually do with this knowledge?
Well, this study doesn't offer all the solutions, but it gives us a critical starting point by understanding how these factors interact. We can start crafting, smarter, more targeted policies.
So we're not just stuck with a bunch of data points. We're actually equipped with insights that can help us build a more equitable future.
Precisely. And as we grapple with inequality and social
Yeah.
mobility, this kind of research is absolutely crucial.
You've definitely given me a lot to think about. I came into this deep dive assuming intergenerational educational mobility was a pretty straightforward concept, but now I see it's a whole world of complexity.
And that's the beauty of it. The deeper we explore, the better equipped we are to create a world where everyone has the chance to fulfill their potential, regardless of where they come from.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This has been an incredible journey, and I'm left with a burning question. If we could design the ideal system for educational mobility, what would it look like?
Now that's a question worthy of its own deep dive. But if I had to offer one starting point, I'd say, we needed to kind of shift our focus from simply increasing the quantity of education to improving its quality and relevance.
So it's not just about pushing everybody to get more degrees, but making sure those degrees actually translate into, meaningful opportunities out there.
Exactly. We need to think about education as an investment, not just in individual futures, but in the future of our societies as a whole.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's not enough to just climb the ladder, you know, if the rungs are weak or if the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall.
That's a brilliant way to put it. We need to ensure that, you know, the education system is actually providing people with the skills and knowledge they need to thrive in a rapidly changing world.
So how do we do that? What are some concrete steps we can take to move in that direction?
Well, for one, we need to invest in early childhood education. Those early years are really critical, you know, for cognitive development and setting the stage for lifelong learning.
Yeah, it's like building a strong foundation for that educational ladder we were talking about.
Precisely. And we need to make sure that, you know, our education systems are adaptable and responsive to the changing needs of the workforce. We can't just keep churning out graduates with the same set of skills if those skills are becoming obsolete.
Right. So we need to equip people with the tools to not only get a job, but to adapt and thrive in like a constantly evolving job market.
Exactly. And that means fostering creativity, critical thinking, problem-solving skills, the kinds of abilities that'll be valuable no matter what the future holds.
Yeah, it's like giving people a mental toolkit that they can use to build their own futures rather than just handing them like a prefabricated ladder.
I love that. And let's not forget about the importance of addressing those regional and gender-based disparities that we talked about.
Right, we can't just assume that like a one-size-fits-all approach is gonna work everywhere or for everyone.
Exactly. We need targeted interventions and policies that take into account the unique challenges and opportunities, you know, in different parts of the world and for different groups of people.
Yeah, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to the complexities of educational mobility. You know, it's not just a personal journey, it's a reflection of broader social and economic forces.
And that's why it's so important to keep exploring these issues and having these conversations. You know, by understanding the factors that shape educational mobility, we can start to build a world where everyone has a genuine shot at a brighter future.
We've certainly given me and hopefully all of our listeners a lot to think about. It's been a fascinating journey, and I'm feeling inspired to keep learning and keep pushing for a more equitable world.
That's what it's all about, the pursuit of knowledge and the commitment to creating a better future for all. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
And to everyone listening out there, thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to keep questioning, keep learning, and keep striving to make a difference in your own communities. Until next time.